Well, good evening, Bangor.
Good evening.
Okay, the Baptists are right there. So I'm a Baptist preacher. You got to talk back to me now. So good evening. All right. We'll work on that this week. It's a treat to be with you all again. It's been about 5 years ago since my wife and my two girls and I had the privilege of being with you for this convention. And as I said earlier tonight, you all left a real deposit of grace in our lives. We felt like we made new friends when we were here. We felt as if we were encouraged spiritually and just strengthened to run the race. And so it's a great honor for me to be back and to be sharing with you in the Bible readings this week. My wife and my children, they send their greetings and send their love. They weren't able to be with us this year because of the move recently back to the United States and school starting in a couple of days and all those kinds of things. But they are remembering us and praying for us, and I bring you greetings on their behalf. Show of hands, how many of you feel like you are expert Bible readers? Excellent, excellent, excellent. I love those kind of questions that just makes everybody sit still, right? Well, good, you're in good company. I'm no expert Bible reading, and despite the fact that the Lord has given me the privilege of focusing on that as a calling, as a vocation, of studying the Scriptures and teaching the Scriptures. And like many of you, I presume, maybe all of you, I from time to time need fresh stirring in my soul. I need my eyes to be opened again to behold the majesty of God in the Scriptures. And the Lord has been graciously doing that for me, or at least pointing that out to me this year. And so what I want to share with you in the Bible readings is something that we've called reading the Bible like Jesus. It's amazing when you read the Gospels to see how our Lord handled the Scriptures. And as we see how he handled the Scriptures, we begin to see more depth into the Bible, and as a consequence, more depth into the Lord himself. And so we want to take five passages from the Gospels and to work through them in the Bible readings with an eye toward how did Jesus read the Scriptures of his day? And what does that teach us about how to read the Scriptures in our day? And how does that work in us? How does that kindle in us fresh fire for our Lord? So I pray that you guys will join us for the Bible readings this week. I also want to ask you a prayer for what the Lord has called my family and I and some other families to do in Washington, D.C. When most people think of Washington, D.C., they think of the White House and the Capitol and the seat of power and traffic. But there's another Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., you may or may not know this, is divided by a river called the Anacostia River. In the 1600s and 1700s, Native American peoples called the Anacostians lived along that river. Pretty soon, they were pushed out from that area, and it became a settlement for the folks who were colonizing the country. And it remained a white settlement up until the mid-1950s and 1960s when African Americans started to move into that area. And as was the case during the days of segregation, when African Americans moved into a neighborhood, there was this phenomenon called white flight, where white families moved out of the neighborhood elsewhere. So pretty rapidly, within about 10 years, Anacostia, which used to be an all-Native American area, became an all-white area, and then became an all-black area. And like so many major cities in the United States, that area of the city is under significant distress. You know, there's brokenness there. You know, families are broken. Relationships are broken. There is high rates of drug use, high rates of alcohol use and domestic abuse. There is there the highest incidence, one of the highest rates of HIV/AIDS in the country, definitely in the city. Lots of brokenness, but there's also lots of beauty there, because there in Anacostia are people made in the image of God, made with dignity, made to be loved, made to know God. And yet when we look at the church planting efforts that are going on in the city, almost nobody is planting churches in Anacostia and places like it. So over the last year, the Lord has burdened my family and I and some other families to pick up our roots in the Cayman Islands, where we were suffering for Jesus, you know, on the beach. To pick up roots from the Cayman Islands and to move to Anacostia with the hopes of establishing a gospel-preaching church. To bet our energies, to bet our lives, to bet our resources that God would bless the preaching of his gospel and he would call people to himself and he would establish a church there. And in establishing a church there and a new community of God's people, he would begin to reclaim and renew people who've been broken and battered by this world. And so we look to go there and commit ourselves to five things: the message of the gospel, the ministry of mercy, the mending of men, women, and marriages, the multiplication of church leaders and other church plants, and the work of missions across cultures. And we're excited about that. The fields are white. They are plentiful. They are ready for the harvesting. And we see that where the Lord has sent us. And yet we know what he also says: pray that he would send workers into the harvest. And so we just want to ask you tonight, if you would, as you remember us, if you think of the tall, gray-haired, good-looking man who spoke to you tonight, pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for the church plant. Pray that the gospel would go forth and that Christ would be praised and honored in that part of the city, often forgotten, often neglected. Thank you for having us tonight, and we look forward to worshiping with you this week. God bless.